While Rabbi Eisenbergen, he's for now year five, has been certainly a mentor to me, both in terms of the culture of the yeshiva, the Chicago community, but also how to do the right thing. And so very grateful always for Rabbi Eisenberg to invite me to speak. This year, not about Chicago religious Zionism. Thought we would broaden it out. The idea of having a historical sense once got me into trouble, just by the by. I remember I was doing research in England, and I stayed with cousins for Shabbos, and I was in Golders Green, and I asked them, how far away is the Great Synagogue? And they looked at me and said, there is no Great Synagogue. I said, of course there is. It was the seat of Chief Rabbinate. At the time, it was Rabbi Sacks. I said, it has to be here. I know all about it. I had prepared for this research by reading everything there was to read. There isn't so much on the history of British Judaism. And they just defiantly explained, there is no such thing. In fact, Rabbi Sacks davens at the Fitchley Synagogue. I said, that's heresy. That's, come on, where is it? Stop pulling my leg. And then I remembered that Cecil Roth's second volume on the history of British Jewry was dedicated to the great synagogue that was blitzkrieg, that was destroyed in World War II. So sometimes, it's quite fortunate, obviously, but sometimes having a historical sense, it's a reminder that there's also something very important about staying in the moment, about what is important and what isn't, and what is around and what survives. This evening, I want to discuss something about a work in progress, which is the early debate, a contentious one, over Yom HaAtzmaut. In our times, you can essentially, there are certain approximations. There are certain things you can tell or ask about different factions, different subgroups within Orthodox Judaism, and you can get a sense of where they are. For instance, if you walk into a shul and you take a look at their bookcase and what sidurim they use, so if there are, let's say, a bunch of old blue birnbaums, you get a sense of how many people are still in that shul and what they're doing. If they are the orange art scrolls, if they are the RCA black art scrolls, if they are the Rabbi Sacks Koren sidurim. It's not always true, and of course, if there's a mixture, if there is some sort of conglomeration of different types, you can tell a lot about a shul based on the way that they pray and the sidurim that they use. Likewise, Yom HaAtzmaut is a dividing line, again, not here to judge, fortunately or unfortunately, among different groups, certainly within American Orthodoxy. I'm going to hope that we can take that as a given. Why? Presumably, centering around the issue of Reshit Smicha L'Gulatenu, is this the onset? Is the state of Israel, Hakamat HaMedina, in this room, Hakamat HaMedina, is it the case? Is it the beginning of the redemption? And depending on one's observance of Yom HaAtzmaut, you can tell a lot about their position. So, we're going to take a look at some of the earlier sources. And contrary to what I just suggested, I'm going to argue today, and we're going to look at the sources together, and I'm going to suggest that it's not until the Six-Day War that the opposition to Yom HaAtzmaut had to do with Zionism. I'll say it again. The fault line of Yom HaAtzmaut, do you do it or do you not do it, only has to do with Zionism post-1967. Before then, the debate over Yom HaAtzmaut and more centrally, Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut, with or without a bracha, although we'll see that there is a myriad of positions, actually just two. Something else is happening between 1948 and 1967, and I want for us to explore this evening what exactly are the factors at play
which is moving people for or against Yom HaAtzmaut.
So take a look at the sources. Source number one, very appropriately, 1948, the official position of the Rabbanut Roshi, of the chief rabbin, Amafana Yisodi Shechal B'mechamet, or sorry, B'chemlat, Hashem Aleinu Lotzil Anu, Ulifdut Nafshenu, Im Hakrazat Atzmotenu Ba'aretz. We were saved. The great vision of God has saved us, give us sovereign, saved us from our enemies, have redeemed us, and announced in a clarion call that the Jewish people have sovereignty over their land. Mechayev otanu. Therefore, we are obligated. Lekayem ulekaba. We are obligated. It's not a reshut. We are obligated, suggests the chief rabbinate. Lekabel aleinu ledorot. Not just now, but for all generations. Et yom hakraza medinat Yisrael, to announce, to anoint for medinat Yisrael this day. Hu yom hei be'iyar. Why hei iyar? What happened on Hayyar? That David Ben-Gurion in Tel Aviv, not Yerushalayim, they didn't have Yerushalayim then, Tel Aviv announced the declaration, he pronounced the Declaration of Independence. It was not a war, it was not a victory. It was a day in which David Ben-Gurion, very much a secular figure, announced the independence of the State of Israel. That day, suggested the chief rabbin, we are obligated, Yom Hei B'Iyar, Shebechol, Shana V'Shana, annually, L'Yom Simcha Shel Atchalta D'Geula, the onset of the redemption, L'Klal Yisrael. Very familiar language. U'lehotzi et ayom shebo na'as anes ha'gadol hazeh, not the war, not Melchamed HaShichror, but the fact that Ben-Gurion proclaimed independence on behalf of the state, that was a neis hagadol hazeh mechlal min hagei avelut. Therefore, we are obviated from issues of avelut. Why? Because it is shel yemei Sfirat HaOmer. Takes place during Sfirat HaOmer, during the first half, so to speak. Im matan ho'ad l'tefilat hodayah, it should include some sort of thanksgiving prayer. It had not yet been determined that it should be halal. And we should have accompanying Joshua Meina Maora, relevant sermons and lectures. B'batei HaKnesset l'tfilat mincha, and tfilat mincha for a separate issue was the moment. Mincha, we don't, if you look in the Gemara and Ta'anit, mincha augured whether or not we fasted or we celebrated. There was much to do over mincha. Unfortunately, now we say, Hei Gedusha. But back in the day, mincha meant quite a bit for the temperament of an occasion. So on what grounds? Take a look at source 2. Gemara and Pesachim. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Shir Shabbatara Moshe Abi Yisrael Amruhu B'Shah Sha'alu Min Hayam. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people sang Shirat Hayam. Parshat Ba'alotzecha. B'Shalach, excuse me. B'Shalach. It was a bat. Sha'alu Min Hayam. B'Halazah Mi Amru. And what about Halal? Nevi'im shebenayim tiknu lahan liyisrael shiyu omrin oto al kol perak v'perak called tzara v'tzara. We should recite halal on occasions, tehillim for tzara v'tzara shlo tavo lahan. The tehillim that we recite is the composition of halal. Ushne galin omrin oto al gulatan, and for that reason we should recite halal. So according to Gorim Pesachim, is it in play? Is it worth a debate over whether or not we should recite halal on Yom HaAtzmaut? It's certainly a discussion. Right? Certainly possible. We were saved. Okay, you can check that off, essentially, if that's the occasion. And to anoint a day as connoting some form or some formative stage of redemption. All right, so there's something to be said about halal on Yom HaAtzmaut. And sure enough, take a look at the Chatam Sofer, the Chasam Sofer. Ukva harach the Yoter, midi l'sayim. I'm in source 3, B'Nechama. Omer Masha, Omer la'ayil, dekviat yom moed. I'm in the bolded section at top of source 3. B'yom asiyat neis. This is the important section. We should establish a holiday, a moed, for any occasion in which a miracle was performed by God. Hu kavach omer doraita. It's not just a derabanan, it's a d'oraita. Lefiyanes daiti, according to my humble opinion, ulefiza yom purim, is a minority view, but an interesting one, that Purim and v'yimei Chanukah d'oraita him. Not much room to suggest that historically that Purim and Chanukah are biblical holidays. Why not? Or why so? It's after Matan Torah. And certainly, Sefer HaMakabim isn't included into the canon. So it's not even in Tanakh. So for sure these are rabbinic holidays. But because the formulation or the ability, the rabbinic construct to elevate any occasion in which a nes, nigla, or nista were performed, the ability for Sanhedrin to elevate an occasion marking a miracle to a holiday is a biblical permission. So it's not that it is historically a biblical holiday. It is not Passover. It's not Pesach. It is not Sukkot. It is not mentioned in Parsha. At one time I got the Parsha right. It is clearly historically after Chamisha Chumshei Torah, but the ability, the capacity for Chazal to elevate any occasion in which a nes transpired into a holiday, that ability is biblical in origin.
What nes happened in a year, though? The Marchatz test in November,
So that's exactly what the chief rabbinate asked one of the leading Talmidei Chachamim, Rabbi Meshulam Roth, the author of Kol Mevaser, conveniently in source 4. That Rabbi Yehuda Leib Fishman, eventually changing his name to Maimon, and Rav Herzog himself, issued a shaila to Rabbi Roth. He was in a very interesting position. He was a major scholar, even as a young man in Lithuania. He had close relations to the Chazon Ish and was also a devout Zionist. So he, the broadness of not only his scholarship, but also his range of political alliance and alliances was considerable. So it makes very good sense that even though he did not sit within the office of the chief rabbinate, the author of the Kol Mevaser should answer your question. Al Kol Panim, source 4 in the bolded section. Yatzalanu ledina benidon didan de'ein kan shum chashash. I have absolutely no concern, although you'll see maybe challenges that in a moment. Bipikbuk, I have no doubt whatsoever. Bipikbuk klal mishum baal tosif. I don't think this is adding on that Heyar is some sort of extraneous sort of holiday. It's not you can't dispose of it so easily. Rak adarabba chiyuv. The mitzvah of lasot zecher l'neis ulikboa at yom ha'atzmut l'yom tov v'simcha v'lomar bo halal shalim below dilug. The chief rabbinate actually didn't follow. Chief rabbinate's position for halal and yom ha'atzmut is what? It's halal without a bracha. The Kol Mevaser's position is with the bracha, and not to skip around, and not to omit any sections of it. What was it? V'akol panim, neshinas al kol Yisrael. The very fact that a Jewish independence was formulated in Tel Aviv on that occasion was a nes not just for the people in Israel, but sovereignty for the Jewish people in 1948 was for every Jewish person in Israel or otherwise. The author of the Chida's Chuvot, such an occasion in which a nes had ramifications for all the Jewish people. Not only can you not withhold from saying halal, suggests Rabbi Meshulam Roth, but you also cannot observe any form of sadness, of sorrow, of tanit, of fasting. Not in this source, but in a different one. I'm good for right now, says Rabbi Meshulam Roth. But for all generations, b'inyan birkat halal, v'hu davar mechudash, acharei ha'tikufa ha'arucha sha'alpayim shanot ha'galut, for the first time in 2,000 years to be reciting a new occasion to recite halal, even though I'm very confident about everything that I've just written, and this is only a section of a much larger tshuva, good luck getting that, of getting the majority of rabbinical scholars, in order that we should not be guilty of splintering off into different factions, Liasot agudot agudot, again, many factions, vim ya'ala ba'askama, but if we were to achieve the impossible to get every Jew to agree to it, at least somebody, Tamid Shagil Ra'ah, somebody who's worthy of a decision, vim ya'ala ba'askama yibarchu et ahala b'chol mekomot, therefore we should recite halal on each occasion. Now, that wasn't actually a very controversial view in Israel. So we take a look in the... You see there are page numbers. The one that has a 5 underneath, page 5. An edition of the Jerusalem Post in 1953. A survey of all of the periodical literature, all the newspapers in Israel, only so many, but I think about 6 or 7 newspapers in total, about their positions on Yom HaAtzmaut, light and shade in Independence Day comment. The communists were not so happy with Yom HaAtzmaut. There was too much materialism going on in Israel. The very far right, think Nitya Karta, were very much opposed. That's in paragraph 2. But if you take a look at the second column, third paragraph, the editorial in Hamodia, which is the official organ of the Agudas Yisrael, there it says, Agudas Yisrael, was in a strongly orthodox vein, calling Israel independence an act of God. While Chayrut, another newspaper, said that Independence Day was a day of triumph, but also a day of mourning, for neither the whole of Israel nor the whole of Jerusalem had yet been liberated. So while it's a mixed occasion, it's not because they occupy it. Nothing to do with it. The one newspaper suggests that this is a wonderful day, Nisim v'Nifla. Oh, the other one says, Chaval, that we don't have Yerushalayim, but it's still a wonderful occasion. In Israel, most Jews were in agreement that Yom HaAtzmaut was a good thing and worth celebrating. Was celebrating. Not necessarily with challah. We don't have exactly the record of who said challah and who did not. But there was much agreement over the character, an attitude of Yom HaAtzmaut. Now if you go back, sorry to make you flip around, but if you go to page 2, that wasn't the case in America, interestingly. In America, the idea of Israel was only 5 years old. It was still in a precarious position. Nitya Karta was much stronger in America. Media coverage gave them a lot of attention, and there was still much debate within the halls of the United Nations about Zionism, its connection, is it a form of racism, all things that would continue certainly into the 70s when that was actually taken up, but unfortunately to this day. And they weren't as sanguine about it. Take a look at source 5 in a question about should the RCA, the Rabbinical Council of America, have an official position in Yom HaAtzmaut, the president, Rabbi Theodore L. Adams, wrote to the Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, and we only have this section of his response that was reproduced in Rabbi Louis Bernstein's dissertation on the history of the Rabbinical Council of America. In my opinion, all the RCA has to do, I'm in source 5 at the top of page 2, interpret the birth of a Jewish state in terms of our own religious philosophy and history, and warn against any attempt of secularization of Jewish life on all levels, individual, communal, and political alike. The question was, should we recite Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut? His response was, well, what was his response? Maybe. What? Maybe. But he avoids the question pretty much. And if you see, if you look, I've also reproduced a page from the Yeshiva College newspaper. On the, it is page 4. You'll see on the right, Golda Meir had not yet Israelicized her last name. But on the left, an editorial at the very same moment, a salute to Israel, write the undergraduates at Yeshiva University, at the men's campus. There are those, I'm in the second paragraph, who have succumbed too readily to the notion that the new state is the embodiment of Jewish redemption. And with it, we have a panacea to all that ails the Jew in the diaspora. Others have expressed the view, there is nothing in the state which marks it as Jewish, and hence, we ought to disclaim it entirely. Entirely. Those less extreme in their views, and more hopeful, have envisioned grandiose plans for the renewal of a Sanhedrin. What do we know about that? Rabbi Yehuda Leib Maimon was very involved in trying to reconstitute the Sanhedrin, the Brisker Rav, to put it lightly, thought it was a miserable idea, putting it lightly, or have looked forward to the ideal of a state like other states. We cannot, this is the important line, see our way clear to adopt a position at either extreme. And then, in the last paragraph, we must remember that the creation of a sovereign Jewish political unit is not for us the sum total of prophetic promise. We shall continue to await the day when Torah shall come forth from Zion, Kibbutz Zion Tetzei Torah, and will continue to regret extremism on both sides, which hinders the coming of that day. And indeed, if you look at Kol Dodi Dofek, Rabbi Soloveitchik's seminal work, essay on religious Zionism, there is absolutely no messianism involved in it. That was something that was happening in Israel. That was for the disciples of Rav Kook. Very much for the burgeoning modern Orthodox, although they would not call themselves yet that term, they were not yet prepared to adopt the messianism of Yom HaAtzmaut and of religious Zionism. They were still waiting to see what would happen. That changes, to foreshadow, after the Six-Day War. Go back to source 6, please. A lot of commotion in 1953. A Mem Abramson, who was actually, in all likelihood, the Rabbi Meir Amsel, the editor of the journal Hamaor. He sometimes went by a nom de plume when he wanted to say something very controversial. I was told by his son quite recently. In source 6, Ed Mahut Simchatam Shel Alpei Amishtatvim Bechagigat Yom Ha'atzmut Be'aseret Theotorim, Theotronim, excuse me, in New York, Shehit Agnu Al Dorsheim Shel Dorshe Achzorei Shiotanu. So says the editor of this rabbinic periodical out of Brooklyn, I'm not here to discuss this event which took place in which 10 theaters in Manhattan were occupied by religious Zionists, and they did a lot of sermons, they did a lot of singing about their mighty hands which brought about the state of Israel, Ubi'ikar, Al Shireyan, about their singing, Al Zmirot Rekuda, and then they're dancing, Mikol Amim. I'm not here to discuss that event and that very complicated affair in Manhattan, where so many Jews, so many religious Zionists, and Mizrahi in particular, organized a major Manhattan event in which they rented out 10 sites to do special convivial occasions in honor of Yom HaAtzmaut. Im hayta simcha zu simcha liyisod medinat Yisrael unisim shenasu alachayim sham. If it was in fact correct, and their happiness, their joy was somehow anchored to fealty towards the miracles and the people of Israel. Oh, stam simcha, kikos machot, or if it was just another July 4th party, shehem kan chovat haguf, because that's up to every single individual. I'm not here, says Rabbi Meir Amsel, in a thinly veiled polemic, I'm not here to discuss whether or not that was appropriate. It's a dead giveaway. He thought it was not appropriate. Go to the next paragraph. What am I here to talk about? And this is interesting. I'm only here to talk about one of the heads of Mizrahi, Rabbi Yaakov Levinson. Shepirsem Bitonot, who publicized in all of the newspapers, particularly in Hadar, in a major Hebrew language publication that reached many sectors, very popular here in Chicago as well, Tzav, a directive, a command, L'kol Batei HaKnesiot, that in every shul, so says Mizrahi in 1953, Shebiyom echad belaila acharei tefilat arvit yomru halal vegam lechadodi vekol rab yidrosh minyanim avahivili de bitoy et samachta machadasha rak barichot simcha yoter gedola b'chagim shekiva haTorah. I'm only here to complain that Mizrahi has ordered a directive that every rabbi at Marav time should recite Hallel with a bracha. They should do a lechadodi, a whole presentation, and should deliver an appropriate themed sermon having to do with Yom HaAtzmaut. And ostensibly, to rival the simcha, the joyousness of any other, outpace the simcha of any other Jewish holiday. V'im kein. Ma lo l'takein simcha b'oto ha'yom. Sha'avir b'on menuval mikol aniskar la'ayah. V'achol gim gam kein. Et itzumo shel ha'yom hazeh. V'haya yachol l'takein. Eiza yom echa l'simcha hazeh. And l'fi shitato, according to your position, why yom ha'atzmut? Why not any other day? V'dugma, yom shenachol b'o yehudim l'medinat Yisrael mo'eveyem harabim u'kedoma. Maybe the day in which they were victorious in Muhammad HaShikhor. What's so significant about Yom HaAtzmaut? V'lo la'akif et ha'tzibor ha'charedi, and leave us alone, the Haredi population kan, min hagim she'ein behem tam v'reach ha'Torah, that have no business, have no connection to Torah whatsoever, lule she'elat pi gedolei ho'ora ba'artzeinu hazot. And leave these questions not to Mizrahi, but to whom? Gedolei ha'ora ba'artzeinu hazot. Who is he talking about? Let American rabbis, let the Agudas HaRabbanim, let the RCA, let the you name it organization, let the Agudas Yisrael make that decision. Who are you, Mizrahi in Israel, and in America, to tell us what to do? Is that a theological problem? I mean, don't get me wrong, he takes a slight and a swipe at Yom HaAtzmaut in that first paragraph. But what is that opposition? How is he framing his antagonism for Yom HaAtzmaut? It's not about Zionism, is it? What's the issue for him?
The supremacy of Eretz Yisrael.
What do you mean?
Whether Eretz Yisrael can make decisions for world Jewry.
And particularly for America. Meaning it's jurisdictional. Israel does not get to tell America how to observe its religion. You have a Rabbanut, that's fine. It is not the Rabbanut of the Jewish people. Again, this is that position. Others certainly disagree. The Rabbanut is jurisdiction in Israel. We in America have our own rabbinical organization. You're going to see that there are shades of this in other sources. We do it our way. We have our own organized Orthodox rabbinical community. Let us make decisions for ourselves on our own. Do not tell us what to do. Okay? Bold claim. Rabbi Yaakov Levinson was a shrewd person and somebody who would eventually respond in the following year in the very first issue of a very important publication called Or HaMizrahi, the official Mizrahi publication of America. Gam Anachnu in source 7. Poba America. And there's no doubt in my mind that he is responding to Rabbi Amsel from only a few months back. Gam Anachnu Poba America. Also we in America, says Rabbi Levinson, we have an obligation to, with all of its glory, to observe this holiday, of Yom HaAtzmaut, Lahodot, and to thank La Hashem, to give thanks to God, on Hanisim Shinaasu Biyameinu. Lipalel, Bibate Knesiot, Birov, Am Bishloma Shel Hamedina, to pray on the welfare for our people and for the state of Israel, so Pearson when they zet and to publicize, to make a really big deal out of Yom HaAtzmaut, says the leader of American Mizrahi. V'davka b'shanazu. And after all the confrontation, of all the consternation that we went through in the previous year, this year is really important. Davka b'shanazu. Shenikshlo anashim ha'yiduim. Because a lot of people are saying a lot of things. They're saying it ubechutzot beruchovo. They're saying it on the outside. They're saying it on the streets. V'soneinu, and our enemies, v'bein ha'goyim. They're saying really, really horrible things. And they're saying too, and it's suggesting to the United Nations. How could it be that the United Nations should get the impression that religious Jews are opposed to Medinat Israel? We're obligated. Don't listen to what Rabbi Amstel said, or Ma'am Abramson. Don't listen to what he said. We have an obligation to make a really big deal and to love and to rejoice over the state of Israel. It's correct. It's only correct for us. We have to come to support Israel. We've known the arts to build it up. With our funds, Modena, and our other resources. That is his volley back to the opposition. But still, it has very little to do with Zionism. Take a look at source 8. A New York rabbi, I believe in the Bronx, Rabbi Yehuda Altusky, writing in Hapardes, another rabbinical journal, one time founded in Chicago by Rabbi Shmuel Pardes. Lechora, it seems to me, Hari Avshar Lahaskin, Leko HaTochnit, I'm in source 8, Hanis Karet. I can get on board to everything about Yom HaAtzmaut. I've read Rabbi Meshulam Roth's tshuva on it. I get it. There's a Marshal, but fine. Gemara Pesachim combined with the Chasam Sofer. I can get on board on the halacha grounds to observe Yom HaAtzmaut in all of its trappings. B'chi b'kacha amir pirkei ha'tilim. All it is a bracha with tilim. Ram, however. Achad lo'ed. There's one thing I don't understand. I don't know. Et be'emet motelet hi achova al kol Yehudi v'Yehudi lahargish avira shel achag. Is it really incumbent on every single person to get behind the culture, lahargish avira, to get to know the attitude of this holiday? Lama selo ba kriyazumi tam harabanuta ortodoxit hamuskemet hagavoa. Why not come to the leading rabbinic figures here in America? Who is Israel? Who are lay leaders in Mizrahi to decide the halacha for us? This organization? When is an organization, even one of a datit lumit, of a religious Zionist character, latit horat sav, to offer a directive, a command, liyadut or sadiqs, orthodoxit? Since when do organizations issue a halachic directive to Orthodox Jews? Yishanein ba'America, thank goodness in America, histadriot, rabbaniot, we have rabbinical organizations. He's not particular to any, well, you'll see in a moment he is. We have rabbinical organizations which are sensitive to this moment in time, the social complexion, the character of the Jewish community. So we were scaffolded by a well-intentioned, well-meaning, incredibly literate and competent set of rabbinical organizations. Why don't they decide the matter? Who says that Israel can make the decision for us? Who says that we can just do it in Mishama Shubah on a whim to establish this holiday? So again, not about Zionism. It's about jurisdictionalism. Now, some people did have theological issues. If you turn the page, source 9. The Satmar Rav in Vayol Moshe, published in 1959, Uboto Hayom Hamar Vanimar Shaaseb Mereda B'Machol Shemayim. It was a terrible day and a horrible occasion in which we saw a rebellion against the kingdom of heaven. What happened? That Kol Kach Lahamid Memshala Yisrael B'Artzeinu HaKadosha, that they established a secular government in our holy land, Bli Torah V'Emunah, that this government that was devoid of Torah and faith, Emunah, Klal, Shemisham Tetze Minut V'Kfira, which espouses heresy and blasphemy, L'Yisrael V'Karo To Yom HaAtzmut, in case you were wondering, this day is Yom HaAtzmut, Heima Sasim Usmeichem B'Toneihem, they publish all of these convivial things, B'Farhesia, and they disseminate it widely, Le'ein Kol La'asot Yom Tov Gadol B'Yom HaMereda HaMalchut Shemayim. So this is Samarav after all. This occasion in which there was an assault on the kingdom of heaven, of Malchut Shemayim, Hayeshulcha Neitz Gadol Hashem Yitzbarach Mizeh, is there any type of opposition or flouting of God like this? Lakiv Lev Kol Ma'amin B'Hashem Yitzbarach B'Toratah Kedosha Al Ketzah, and this obviously pains the hearts of every Jewish soul who agrees with the Samarav. Okay. So there are, I want to make sure that there are theological opponents of Yom HaAtzmaut. To bring it to Chicago, you have to be Yotzei or Mitzvah of some Chicago. When we're talking about it, when we're talking in this building, is Rabbi Chaim David Regensburg, longtime dean of faculties and Rosh Yeshiva of our yeshiva. Me'az, writing a little bit later in 1965 in Source 10. Me'az tekumot medinat Yisrael shaklu v'taryu kama balei trisin b'Yisrael b'tfotz b'nidu netinat tzura datit liyom ha'atzmut shenikba al yedei ha'memshala. So they've done Yom Ha'atzmut for some time now, says Rabbi Regensburg. Yesh shechashvu sha'af al pi halacha, that sha'al pi halacha, that according to the letter of the law, Tzarech likboa et yom hazeh liyom tov ba'amir atala b'bracha v'od v'od. There's some people who hold, even in this city, says Rabbi Regensburg, that we should have halal on Yom HaAtzmut, make a really big deal of Yom HaAtzmut. Ela, sharov gdolei shel chachmei ha'torah b'Yisrael lo mahar lehem shech achrayam. But what do most gdolei Yisrael, according to Rabbi Regensburg's summation, what is their feeling about it? They're not so carried away. They're not so readily going toward this position. They're in no hurry. Literally, they're in no hurry to accept this position. What's Rabbi Regensburg's argument? And he says very much the same in the next paragraph, and he brings a source. He offers a source from Gemara Megillah, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. He says it's a Baal Tosef issue. We're adding to the Jewish calendar. We're marking the occasion. We're changing. Heyar didn't look this way in 1946, 1947, 1542. So not so fast. What's Rabbi Regensburg's far more reserved, far less contentious than some of the previous positions that we've rehearsed? What's his opposition? And so it's an important one to acknowledge. Why does he not support Yom HaAtzmaut? Baltosif Alpidin, but what about culturally, what is he offering? What about that line about that Ela Shaharov Gadol Shel Chachmei HaTorah B'Yisrael Lo Maharu Lamshich Achareihem? They're not so quick, they're not in such a hurry to adopt Yom HaAtzmaut. What is that about? Is that jurisdictionalism or is that something else? I think it's something else.
It's not about the place, it's about the people.
It's about which people? It's about... Well, it's more about the Gedolei Yisroel. I don't know who he has in mind, right. But
That's what I mean. He feels that whoever he labels as a Gedolei Yisroel have a common board, so we shouldn't do that.
And in fact, this Rabbi Meshulam Rothman.
Everybody on board. He doesn't want to be the.
Where he doesn't want to be the Nachshon Ben Aminadab.
Right.
He doesn't want to be the first person, although he's not as sanguine as Nachshon was about entering the sea at that moment. And in fact, the Kol Mevaser said, you know what, to make this L'doro, to make this for all generations, an annual occasion, let's see if we can get a lot of other people on board. So even in the most positive of all sources, even Rabbi Roth issued a little bit of circumspection about that, but there's also this idea of fear of something new. All tradition-bound faiths have, they're not necessarily neophobic, I promise I did not make up that word, they're not necessarily neophobic, but there is hesitation when it comes to issuing something new. There is something a little less than perfectly authentic about something that we do this year that we didn't do last year. And that, for the character of American Orthodoxy, in American Orthodoxy, you never heard of Minhag Chicago before, you never heard of Minhag Philadelphia before, and it's a community which is unrooted, it's unmoored from centuries of tradition. Our Minhagim, still Ad Hayom to this day, are imported from 19th and 18th century Europe. American Orthodox Jews, because of America, because of the idea of the new world, and all tradition-bound faiths for that matter, so Catholics I would put in the same boat, I'd put German Lutherans in the same category, are not necessarily hostile, but they are resistant to issuing new ideas. Newness calls for increased deliberation, according to Rabbi Regensburg. So we have jurisdictionalism, we have the Satmar Rav, and we have the idea of something new. Let's hold off. Do we really have everybody on board? The last source is by... Rabbi Reuven Gruzovsky. Anybody know who he was? Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vidas. Unfortunately, he was killed in an automobile accident. But in his day, he actually was the founder of the Agudas Yisrael in America in the 1930s. Unfortunately, he didn't live that long, but in his time, he was considered one of the major leaders of the yeshiva world in his time. And he was certainly not a Zionist. Vigam, I mean, the final source, verse 11. Im Chag Ha'atzma'ut. Hayah minhag tov, if it were a good thing, in this undated selection, in a speech that he gave, at least at some point, in probably in the 1950s, hine mikevan, because it is such, shinhigu oto rishayim ein linhogba, because it comes from, and he writes this in other places, because it is derived from Ben Gurion, it's better not to observe it. Avahacha garatuva. It's worse than that. Shaminim, hinigu, lo b'torat chag l'Hashem. Even when they established Yom Ha'atzmaut, it wasn't established to give thanks to God. Ela lahodot lehem, to give praise to their idols, to their gods. Shal kochi va'otzem yadi, the might of my own, the power of my own hands. V'kfira b'ashkachat Hashem yibarach, and they even deny that God had anything to do with Yom Ha'atzmaut, al ha'olam v'alamo, that God has dominion over his people and over his nation, over the world. V'im kein, the havamina, hamishtatef itam, to join with these sorts of people, nira kimoda levodazara, it looks like idolatry, v'lo adib matseva sha'api, it should be ha'avot, it's correct. It's ha'avot, like it was the way that our forefathers built their own mizbechot. In any case, he doesn't like it, not because of jurisdictionalism, not because it's something new, because it's too closely tied to a secular brand of Zionism. Are you surprised? Why not?
Because that's how they view it, is if too many people are celebrating a secular victory, and not a religious one, then they would participate.
So to create this amalgam of a religious holiday, but that was established in secular terms for the former Yeshiva Torah Das was unconscionable. But what about marshaling these sources and reviewing them with you, that it's not really about Zionism? In fact, many of the sources are backpedaling on that issue. Even if I were to agree that halakhically it's perfectly fine, nevertheless, here is my truck, here is my issue with it. It's not about Zionism, except for the Samurai. It's with other issues. And in fact, I would argue, it has more to do with America than it does about Zionism. It has to do with being in the new world as opposed to the old world. We already have our well-fortified, well-established rabbinical organizations. Who are you to say that we have to do it this way? Let us decide about it. It might be right. But don't preempt us. Let us make our own decision. Not us. This is how they spoke. So, jurisdiction. Very much a part of American culture. Saw it in the Civil War. Saw it in the Constitutional Congress. It's very much ensconced in a litigious American culture. That's number one. Number two is the idea of new. New is scary in the new world. Some people embrace it, but tradition-bound faiths, it's what moves them to a much scarier proposition. It's not about Yom HaAtzmaut, it's the idea of issuing something altogether not yet done by the Jewish community. And number three, not about the Nisim v'Niflaot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, starting with, not even the issue with Ha'igah, but the issue about who it was brought about by or through. That's the issue. So it's not until we take a look at the last source, the last page. It's not until 1967. After June 1967, when the reports were that here it is again, genocide. Here is another Chalila v'chas, Holocaust, Shoah taking place. They're out to get us, the extermination of the land of Israel and the Jewish community, the commonwealth therein. We survived. The only explanation is God. It's not Ariel Sharon, it is God. And so you have Jews across the country, here in the United States, all of a sudden, never wearing a yarmulke in public, are donning a kippah, obviously. There is this enthusiasm, there is this pride in being a Jew. All of a sudden, people are piling onto airplanes and traveling to Israel for the very first time. There is this wave of triumphalism about being a Jew in a post-1967 world, and all of the reservation, like you saw with the students in the Yeshiva University newspaper, is this really the real thing or not? We're not sure. Let's let it go. Everybody is sure in post-67 Zionism that Israel, the Medinat Israel, is here to stay. And so people who are uncomfortable with the bracha, without a bracha, halon yom ha'atzmaut, all of a sudden, we're on board. We can get on this now. We see the Yad Hashem. And if that's the case, the opposition to yom ha'atzmaut changes as well. And that's where we'll close. In the writings, an excerpt of a very important speech delivered by the leading rabbinical figure. This is from Rav Shach, the Rashiva of Panovich. In source 6, the back page. V'anachnu tzrichim l'hamin shebiyat ha-mashiach. Says, I'm all on board in 1967. We have to believe in the coming of the Messiah. V'afilu aschalta de'gula. I also believe in the onset of the Messiah, of the gula, of the redemption. Lo tzrichu l'vodei tznurot ke'ila she'ein l'ham shum yichaz v'shum gisha l'torat Yisrael. But you know what? It has nothing to do with what we've just seen. Shagula lo kshura b'chilo Shabbos v'kirat ha-mitzvos is nothing to do with people who are not Torah observant, who are not Sabbath observant, who don't keep the mitzvot. HaTorah omeret, and he has a source for this. Go to the last section. What does it have to do in the last, second, the third to last line? Anachnu tzrichim la'amin she'ge'ula ha'amitit tiyeh ge'ulat ha'guf yachad im ge'ulat ha'nefesh. It has to be that there is a physical redemption, a spiritual redemption, suggests the Rashi of Panevish. Ge'ulat ha'ruach of spirit ve'ein ge'ulat ha'guf. It has nothing to do with the physical way that we see and that we feel what would become Yom Yerushalayim, the victory in the Six-Day War. Dochad ge'ulat ha'ruach. Don't be mistaken. Elsewhere, Rav Shach says later on in this drasha, it has everything to do with the Torah community. The Torah community, his community, is bringing about Mashiach, is bringing about the Gula. It has nothing to do with the Zionists. This is repeated by people like the Rosh Yeshiva of Telz, Rav Gifter. And all of a sudden, the opposition to Yom HaAtzmut and now Yom Yerushalayim coupled on top of it is a Zionist one. We cannot accept that in this stage there is a messianism that is surrounding Israel. It is theological. It is no longer about jurisdictionalism. It is no longer about just something new. It is not about, it is still about secularism, but not that it's conjoined by secularism. It's something different. It changes. What can we learn about this? What might there be to be gleaned from the, not just a pivot, but a change regime of both pro and con Yom HaAtzmaut in the pre-67 versus the post-67 culture? Not what might have been changed necessarily, but what is there to be learned about the character of this polemic? Where might there be optimism from the pre-67 discussion? Any idea? As I see it, there was a missed opportunity. An opportunity in which we can cultivate a fealty and a feeling, a united feeling, around Zionism and Medinat Yisrael, around a halachic discussion, around a Torah discussion. In a post-1967 world, it was a very complicated affair. But the missteps on both sides of having a unified conversation, although it's a very hard one, what it amounted to was eventually, like we said at the very beginning of our discussion, that you can approximate how somebody feels based on Yom HaAtzmaut or not. Before that happens, before Yom HaAtzmaut represents a line of division between different camps within American within all Orthodox Judaism, there is a chance to have a conversation. How we have that conversation and the nuance and how we have it, the politics, in the culture of that conversation, sometimes, as I see it from that pre-67 discussion, have more to do. How we convene it, who is making the decisions, what is the rhetoric around it, all of that sometimes is just as important in the content itself. The missed opportunity of the pre-67 discussion over Yom HaAtzmaut wasn't the content. It wasn't the theology or the ideology surrounding Yom HaAtzmaut. It was, how do we come around the table? If it's a lesson, then when we have the opportunity to bring ourselves into a conversation, we not only worry about the content, but we worry about how we bring others into the conversation. That too is a part of the politics, of not just of religious Zionism, but the history of the Jewish people here, there, and everywhere. Thank you so much.